Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate. Now listen to this.
I think I'll sum up my thoughts with a little Tom Petty. I'm your pal, Dr. Mark, your culture vulture. Number to call to get involved with me, 646-478-4847. Again, the number is 646-478-4847. The world is on fire once again. On fire. As we really just tempt fate and do so many things from a somatic standpoint in 1 week's time. That I think today may be the last day that we're all able to speak our names. Do you realize how many things happen in one stupid day? Wow. I'm still recovering. I mean, this show's at 9 o'clock. It's like, can events stop happening? We woke up this morning and basically made a general resign, kind of said, you're fired. And not even an hour later, we're watching the dual games there, with the U.S. and Algeria, which I called Albania on Facebook. Sorry about that. And the England-Slovenia game happening at the same time, grinding my organs into a fine powder. And, by noon, I was a puddle just from that. But then it got better. Then I watched this dopey tennis match, 59-59, in the fifth set. It gets called on account of darkness. In between, the Mighty Marlins fired their manager mysteriously, and Johan Santana was accused of sexual assault, but it was already dismissed. A lot of stuff happening with BP. We'll get into that a little bit. But basically, the whole world is billing around, but why now? Ooh, that's why you listen to Somatime. Well, last Sunday started the ramp up to the full moon, which is this Saturday. This is for the woos. You moos, go about your business. On Monday, we had a seasonal change, which ushers in a three-month cycle of ontosomatic coherence. Onto myself I go. So all this week, we're catching that flavor on the lunar side. Then starting Monday, we started catching it on the solar side. So what do you think is happening by now? Well, people are starting to get a little God complex. And what are you seeing? All this stuff starting to fall like cosmic debris. McChrystal mouths off. He's on a plane. What a flight that guy must have had, huh? Holy mackerel. And, Bubba's over there at the game in South Africa rooting us on. I got to check out the speech he gave. Uh, anyway, it's just there's so much going on. I can't even get my mind around it. I can't even get my mind around it anymore. I'd like to talk to you guys about it. You have to call me, though. 646-478-4847. Anyway, again, I'm juggling humans here as I talk. Let's see. On Monday night, I got the rare and great opportunity. I'll put the chat room here. See if anybody's home. To go check out the Brooklyn Cyclones down there at Surf Avenue. Took me 2 freaking hours to get to Brooklyn. What is it with Brooklyn? What is it with Brooklyn? Nobody pays attention to the cars. People walk right in the street, right in front of you. You're going 40 miles an hour, people walk across the street, read the newspaper. Anyway, had a good time down there. My friend Mike Silva, he was on last week on NewYorkBaseballDigest.com. He's got a good little thing going here for the All-Star game we talked about last time. And a little fallout from last week's show, just a little capper on last week's show. You know, we have Mia Harris, who was exiting WFAN last week, come on and give us a pop. And basically, that audio was taken from this show by Mike and put on his site, New York Baseball Digest, and then WFAN's morning show. That'd be really cute to take that audio, chop it up, play some clips, and have some fun at Mia's expense on their morning show. Only thing is they forgot to give credit to me and forgot to give credit to Mike. So if you guys are out there listening this week, you know what I have to say to you. And if you listen to the show for 5 minutes, you know you're going to get the Batman right here. I get to get over there. So to everyone over at FAN.
You filthy criminies.
That's right. How to get that in. So anyway, just to get that kind of puts last week to bed. It was, there's still some fallout to it. If you're out there, if you want to call in or jump in the chat room, let me know what's going on. I definitely want to touch base with you because I know it's been a rough week for her dealing with the fallout of that. Not to mention the immortal Sal Licata, who's probably going to be doing a show here on Blog Talk pretty soon, trying to keep his status up there too. So it's just, what I learned last week about the media is that if we took 10th grade, put it in a bottle, and gave it 6 figures, and said, everybody fight over this little crumb on the ground, that's what you got. You got basically just a high school mentality. Everybody, it's a popularity contest. It's a lot of backstabbing. There's clicks. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's Breakfast Club. Freaking Breakfast Club. You know? But how about this tennis match? All right, two no-names, two nudniks. To Fafools, out there, slogging it out, and it was amazing. It was really the weirdest thing in the world that I was watching. I mean, again, you're coming out of this soccer thing that just about floors you, and it's the first week of Wimbledon. Yeah, I watched a couple of things. There was some 5-set matches, and had to. Come back from 2 sets down the first day. Mr. Wonderful there. Let's see if I can get it. Anyway. Oh, by the way, Lawrence Taylor. That trial moved through today, so he's going through the trial with his whole rape thing and third-degree assault, whatever that gets called. And, there's just a lot of, headlines, I guess is the word. Federer had a little tough set, but he got in there. But this is amazing. 10 hours. 153 games and almost 1,000 points. Nicholas Muat and John Isner, American, 59-59 in their fifth set of their match. And they got to pick it up again tomorrow. This is the third day they're playing this one match. Amazing. But can you imagine playing almost 120 games to settle one set? I mean, this is that rule in Wimbledon makes it unique, is that you got to win by two. It isn't just like a tiebreaker 7-6, whatever. Just kind of crazy. Anyway, looking up, the Mets just ran themselves out of the inning there, but they've broken it open on Seinfeld night. 5-0 Mets as we go to the eighth with R.A. Dickey on the mound. This is looking pretty good. Pretty good. So, what was I doing? I was looking. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this tennis match, like I said, I get into it a little bit in the interview. Bottom of the hour, if you guys, I'm going to isolate it, put it on my Facebook page, but we have Irving Dardick. I did a 45-minute or so interview with him this afternoon. Knock your freaking socks off. this guy's got the keys to the future. The keys. Genius. And so we were spelled all out. We're going to clean it all up. We're going to take care of the energy crisis. We're going to take care of health care. We're going to reform education. We're going to make sure you live long and you're healthy. Believe me, every time I get around this guy's stuff, it's like I get hope back, you know? Banging my head against the wall doing this Soma crap every day here in beautiful downtown Larchmont. So let's see. So yeah, I wanted to talk about the Bubba thing because that was, to me, the side story of the whole match today. Was here's Clinton. You know, I mean, basically right now, Obama is moving in on Bush numbers as far as popularity goes. I mean, every day that goes by with this BP thing, he just keeps sinking in the standings here. And Bubba, you know, he's missed a good time. And it just cracks me up how he just captures the moment. He's become basically our most visible ex-president. I don't hear much out of Bush 43. Bush 41 is, you know, dog track time for him. You don't hear much out of the other guys, but Clinton is, you know, when he's not Superman getting reporters out of China, you know, he's doing this kind of stuff. So it just cracks me up. I don't got any video of this though. Let's see, because I saw him after the game doing the talking. Yeah, it's come down to my game. It's his best. Anyway, this Clinton thing. Let's see. Somewhere in the middle, Clinton cleared his throat and gave a brief speech. The room went silent. Everyone crowded around. He thanked them. He praised them. And then to the players and officials, he delivered signature lines. As someone who cares about our country, you made me proud to be an American. So, there you go. President Clinton. Bubba. I want to go to his party. Could you imagine being at the Bill Clinton post-celebration of today's win when you got a game Saturday afternoon with Ghana? We're actually in a good bracket, man. We could actually win two more games and get to the final freaking four of this thing. I'll fall over. As far as World Cup, you know, I couldn't name five guys on the team, but it's just absolutely. You if you don't get swept up in this watching this, then you know I don't understand. If people can get into the Olympics every 4 years, this is not just an event. This is a political like platform. We talked about it a little last week before. You know, about how you can use sports to introduce political messages, the whole thing. By the way, those girls, you know, with the orange skirts, the advertising the beer for whatever country it was, Holland, dismissed. So, you know, their 15 minutes of fame is up. But I love Bubba getting into this. Clinton said he liked how we never give up. They stick together. There's got to be some video of Clinton talking. I got to find that. We come back in the interview. He's just great. Yeah. Anyway, it's just like I said, that was just one of several events that happened today. Told you, you know, we're at that point where I got to get to the McChrystal thing in a minute here because I think that's important too. But anyway, let's see if we can find some of that while I'm looking around for this. I'm trying to keep my head on straight because I'm trying to make it so that, you know, we kind of stick to the theme tonight, which is the summer of recovery. I got to get to that in a minute. So, but let's see if we can get something about this McChrystal thing because it really bugged. It just kind of the whole thing smelled. You know, there's just a lot of weird stuff happening at once. Let's see if we can get McChrystal. Boy, you know, one of these weeks I'm going to have these clips all lined up on time. Not this week, of course, but you know, one of these weeks. Let's see if we can get anything going on McChrystal. Yeah, the guy flies at, like, I don't know, 10,000 miles to quit or get fired or whatever. And they put the old guy in charge everyone hates, you know. So I guess, you know, this is one of those things where you just, I don't know if you have to hold your nose, but you kind of look at it like, well, is this just Obama doing what he's told? It just seems like, to me, the guy mouthed off. He's miserable. He's sitting out there in Afghanistan. They've got this thing that, you know, they want to get out of there by next summer. But his job isn't done, according to this general. So he bitches and moans to a reporter. So let's see. I got a little video here. And the question he won't answer was shouted out to him was, can the war be won? He walked away. Remember that question got asked. So, you guys have any feelings about it? Let's see. They go right to the thing. They give me a commercial. Yeah, McChrystal, he's military. He doesn't really care about, what anyone says.
ABC News has learned that General Stanley McChrystal, the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, has resigned. His resignation has been accepted. This famous fighter brought down by his words in an interview in a magazine.
This one pissed off Anto, man. Look at this guy.
Martha.
Diane, yes, indeed. We have been told by sources that General Stanley McChrystal has been relieved of his command. If you watched the White House today, there were a lot of clues. He met with the president this morning for about a half an hour. He quickly left the White House after that, and he returned to his home where his wife lives at Fort McNair. He wasn't heard from after that. There was actually an NSC meeting on Afghanistan. He did not attend that. So if you read the tea leaves, that's what it said. But we have now confirmed that he has been relieved of command.
And Diane? Let's put up that video, if we can, of General McChrystal walking into that White House meeting this morning. You can take a look at his face. George Stephanopoulos is here. George.
And the big question for the president now is, what does this mean for the war effort? He will have to come out to the country. He's going to do it in just a few minutes and explain that he had to be relieved and that Crystal had to be relieved of command because it would cripple the war effort. He did say that this decision would be based entirely on that criterion.
We will be carrying the president live as he appears in just a few minutes, but we wanted you to know the latest that we have learned that General McChrystal has been relieved of his command in Afghanistan, and we'll hear his replacement will be what the president plans next in just a few minutes. So stay with ABC News. We'll be right back.
Nah, you all know it's Petraeus and all that, so who gives a rat's ass about any of this anymore? To me, it's part of the business strategy. Again, a lot of this is just parlor games. He's getting his butt kicked in the Gulf. He looks like a chachooch down there. This guy mounts off in Rolling Stone to a bunch of hippies, and he's got to make this guy fly back and do the perp walk. Otherwise, they won't respect him. Again, it's friggin' high school. To me, if I'm Obama, you know what I say? This guy obviously doesn't have any respect for the people he's working with because, well, if we look over our shoulder, we've been there almost 10 years now. How many of those years was, I had to switch, maybe two? So if he's bitching and moaning about us, I don't know. Maybe it seems like he might have been there a little too long. Maybe, things haven't happened. Maybe we haven't sent enough troops. If you want to win a war on the ground in the mountains of Afghanistan, good luck. Nobody does. You just sit and squat, and you get guys killed, and nothing seems to change. Because you're dealing with a large drug dealer in that country. It's not gonna, that's why, to me, he's a frustrated general that knows he's not going to get the resources he needs. He's going to be made to look bad, and then we're going to leave next summer. And it's good to him, it looks like unfinished business. So he mouthed off. To me, it's a distraction to get away from the BP crap. That's all it is to me. But some guys, heads got to roll. We can't have that. Can't have that at all. So anyway, coming up bottom of the hour, like I said, me and we're gonna have Irving Dardick on here to entertain you at an intellectual level. You'll be stunned and amazed at the things you're gonna learn. Because if you look at the three things we're talking about here, how we use energy, how we educate this next generation coming through, and how we deal with healthcare. Big fish. I know I talk a lot about little minutiae things on the air here, but those are three big fish. And how do we deal with that? And this guy, like I said, got answers that nobody's thinking about. And I'm so glad we got him on the air because if you just sit and listen to this interview, he spells it out to you over and over again. It involves our paradigms. Our paradigms are basically, they're paralyzing us into ways of thinking and behaving that cause more of the same. More of the same. So first things first, let's introduce you to a little Irv's work here because we get into it a little bit on the air, but I wanted to make sure that we got this spelled out, because his work primarily has been in health and exercise and as a doctor, but a lot of his application of his theory has been in the world of, you know, of renewable energy. You know? And so he did a little bit on the YouTube that I wanted to play for you before we got him on the air here. Maybe we'll get him on by the air. Let's see if I can just get this to come back. Once again, dealing with the wonders of freaking nature here, this stupid thing. Oh, wait. Almost had it. Come on. Come on. Lord in heaven. Look at this. You know, every week I come on the air and I think, okay, this is the week everything's going to work. I just catch how I feel. That's up 5-0 in the eighth. Looking good. Looking good. Looking good. Love when they're home. All right. So here's Irv talking about his work in cold fusion. Take a listen to this.
I know what it really is, and it's not cold fusion, it's super waving fusion, and it's not fusion. That's why I call it super waving fusion, because fusion implies matter that is fusing, smashing them together. And yet what we're really talking about is waves waving, having the higher frequency compression, synchrony, heat, motion. So it's no longer the idea at the micro level. It's no longer the idea. The only reason they use cold fusion because it wasn't as hot as the sun, okay? And they're doing it in a laboratory at a cooler level. But it's no longer, but it's still hot. The peaks are hotter than the troughs, okay? If I had you exercise when your peak of the heart rate is the highest frequency amplitude in the peak, you're going to have a higher temperature when that's happening compared to when you're sleeping at night and things spread out and your body temperature lowers. Okay, so therefore, the idea of fusion is really motion. It's the dynamics of heat and motion, and that's what it really is. And so it is everything to know why it works this way, not just I accept it blindly and we're just accidentally like we got this methodology. It's predictable. I'm not a physicist. I didn't know it from Adam from physics. You know, I took a couple of courses in college. But when I saw what Pons and Fleischmann did, I said, oh, I know what that is based on the heart wave. I'm just take it right down, of course. And then I'd been reading a little bit, you know, things like the Tao of Physics, you know, and books like that. And I started to read like crazy. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is simple. It's not complicated. It's the way nature works. There's an order to nature, and we can work with it.
See? That's the message I want to get across tonight, is there is an order to nature. We have to learn how to work with it. We have, in the last 50 years, put out so much technology, so many things to give us a way to live independent from nature, that when nature says, time to pay the bill, yeah, hey, ganamos!
Ganamos!
Oh, I got to play this for you while you're here. Hang on a second, a little detour, guys. I got to play this for you, because there's two different versions of this thing. Check this out. All right. Now, here's the American version of the goal, okay? So I'll play Donovan here. Okay. He'll say, That was exciting. Now listen to the Univision version of this thing, and I'll put it on speaker so our friends can hear this. Okay, listen to the difference here. difference. There's a cultural difference right there, you know. There's one that one with a left brain, one with a right brain. So I just wanted to get that in before we get to the interview. I'm loving this World Cup. I'm taking it because it forces us to understand that even though all these cultures are different, just like I said, order to nature, work with it. When you see this dynamic play out, even though there's a political mess, even though there's a whole bunch of corporate crap going on over there at the World Cup, even though ESPN is being its typical whiny self, there's something aesthetic about watching the end of that game. Those guys, four freaking years playing. Maybe at the end of the show I'll play the clip of Donovan getting interviewed of what he's gone through. Went through a divorce, apparently, a whole bunch of things. And it just basically magically happens that, you know, he scores the goal at a minute into extra time, and they're going to play on Saturday. Rather than go home, they actually won for the first time since 1930. They won the group, and they got an easier draw. Like I said, they might get the leapfrog. I guess they play the winner of South Korea and one of the other South American countries came in top of my head. So they might have an easy draw to the semifinals, which is mind-boggling. So anyway, it's just been a wild day. So I think what I'm going to do now is steer myself over to the chat room, just to take a peek if anybody's got any questions before I launch this sucker. As usual, it's Cricket City over there. I'll keep it open during the interview. You guys can listen along. You have any questions, I'll get to them at the end of the show. But I want to just give her a proper introduction here, if I can just, he's a very respected guy. He's a very, very respected guy. And I guess, let's see if I have it on here. I don't even think it got up there. Look at that. Why wouldn't it go through? Unbelievable. No, what am I saying? Unbelievable. Look at me. Let's see. I wanted to give him. It didn't go through. All right. See if I can play it over here. Amazing. Not really. What are we talking? What are we talking? Mets at 1 out in the ninth here. Maybe we get the Met game done before we put the interview on. All right, Dickie going 6-0. Hey, well, that's booting up. Do a little Metcast in here. I'll be going Sunday, Mets and Twins. So the Cyclones Monday night, got my my Mets A-ball feed on. Oh. And 5-0, here goes K-Rod, letting up a hit. Typical. Why did that go through? That is the weirdest thing. The other one went through, the other did. Everything but that. Maybe I didn't put it through. Let's try. All right, anyway. Get it done this way, I say. Gary Cohn doing a little soccer riff here. Hologram is open. Drive carefully. So anyway, getting back to, I'll shut this off for a sec. Getting back to Irv there. Had the opportunity to work with him. And his crew over there in New Jersey about 4 or 5 years ago now. And all I can tell you is that it profoundly affected the way I do my work with clients. And it was nice today to touch base with a guy that just freely gave his information, no pretense, you know. Look at this jerk. Almost a home run. K-Rod comes in games, and you just wince. So his proper introduction is the little clip from Family Guy. We'll get into the discussion of waves a little bit, but this kind of fits. If you know Irv.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Hi, I'm Al Harrington, president and CEO of Al Harrington's Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flail Arm Tube Man Emporium and Warehouse. Thanks to a shipping error, I am now currently overstocked on Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Men, and I am passing the savings on to you! Attract customers. customers to your business. Make a splash at your next presentation. Keep grandma company. Protect your crops. Confuse your neighbors. African American, hail a cab. Testify in church or just raise the roof. Whatever your wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man needs are. So come on down to Al Harrington's wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man emporium and warehouse. Route 2 in Weekapog.
You've all seen those things by the car dealerships. That's pretty much Irv's work to me in a nutshell. Basically, matter is nothing more than the nesting of waves. What are we getting so upset about? It's so freaking simple, as he would say. I didn't even say freaking. But, you know, that's the difference between his worldview of things and the consensus of what's out there, which is basically to treat the meat. You know, label the disabled. All that kind of thing. So we touch on a lot of these topics and more. So without further ado, me and Irving Darnick, MD, basically two somas talking sports here. It was a joy to do, and we'll be listening along with you guys, and we're back. Like I said, I'll be in the chat room answering questions. If you guys have anything to do, anything to ask about me, it's somaspace.org, anything to do about the show, Mia Harris, anything you got, anything you got. I am available for comment in the chat room. I'll be back to a close-up shot. Maybe I can find a little Bubba quote. And, you know.
What the fuck was he talking about?
That's right. Anyway, here's me and Irving Darnick earlier this afternoon. Enjoy the thought waves. Okay, joining us now, an unprecedented guest on Summertime. We have the multi-talented, multifaceted, multi-dimensional Irving Darnick, the founder, creator, and perpetual a curiosity seeker of the superwave resonance theory, who is going to enlighten and probably upset the audience with some of the information he's going to be giving us today. So welcome to Summertime, Irv. It's been a long time, and I'm happy to have you here in the air with me here.
Well, I'm looking forward to this, and I am glad we get a chance to talk again.
Yeah. Now, just in case you guys don't know the Wikipedia of Irv's history, we're getting on the air about maybe 20 minutes after they stopped that tennis match over. I don't know if Irv was watching it over in Wimbledon. Fifth set tiebreaker went to 59-59. That's games. The match almost went 9 hours, I think, within the combined score. You know, the combined elapsed time of the 2 days. They're suspended at the darkness. They're going to pick it up again tomorrow. If you ever wanted to see Irv's theories, in practice, watching these guys, point after point after point, exert, recover. I thought a vortex was going to develop at a certain point. But why don't we start there with what is superwaves, and just give people kind of an overview of your work came through the exercise world, going back about 30 years now. So
right.
Just give people kind of a handle on what is a superwave, how do I use it, is it something that's airy-fairy out there in the seventh moon of Saturn, which it is, or is it something that's I can get a handle on myself?
Yeah, you know, I actually came up with this idea of superwaves because of a dual background. One, I was a vascular surgeon working with people with health and medical problems, disease and dying and all. And then on the other extreme, I became the chairman and founder and head of the U.S. Olympic Committee in sports medicine, sports science. And so here I was working with the so-called healthy Olympic athletes for human performance, and on the other extreme, with disease. And what I realized, what I came up with, is that combination, especially since having been a sprinter myself, where I would sprint and then recover, interval type training, I realized that in a living organism and in nature itself, all motion is actually rhythmic. There isn't anything in you and I or anyone that the motion doesn't cycle. I wake up and I go to sleep. I'm anxious and then I relax. I don't eat and I burn calories and then I recover calories. I'm exercise and I recover. And the heartbeat also is systole, exercise, and diastole, relaxation, the breathing. Every organ system, every molecule, every hormone is even secreted in the pulsatile way. And I realized in biological systems, everything is cyclic. Even though we're looking at, we're trying to find the common denominator, how things connect to a material substantive base, the physical universe of atoms, I realize that the true commonality in life and in nature is rhythms, waves. And these waves are not random. They're not arbitrary. These waves are really patterned in a way that is able to be the order of nature, the way nature actually works, not just from the bottom up. I have in my biology all the energy metabolism is oscillating, it's cycling. But we tend to, in medicine and in health, always, not tend to, this is what we do, we work from the basis of molecules, of genes, of building blocks from the bottom up. And then we're struggling to figure out why things are so complex, why we have light health and disease on one hand and disease on the health on one hand and disease on the other. And yet we don't think in terms of top down, how can I use my rhythms to synchronize the microscopic rhythms?
Now, I don't know if it's possible for you. I'm going to take off on that point in a second. Is it possible for you to come off speakerphone? Because I'm getting a lot of echo on the line. Is that something you could do for us? Or?
How's this? Is this
better? That's perfect. That's perfect. Because it was a little bit like talking to the voice of God there for a minute, but then the echo's gone. Thanks. So just in case you guys are now gripping the armrest on your chair after what Irv just said, just to take it down a little bit, most people go to the doctor, they get a label, they get a diagnosis. You got high blood pressure,
right.
You got a blood sugar problem,
right.
you got a muscle injury. And they treat part of the wave, whatever extreme
right.
it is. And what
right.
most people do is they want that static sort of like, you know, a condition-based medicine, which is always from the outside in, and it's always like herb soil from the bottom up. So they keep digging. They dug for 100 years in the bloodstream. Now they're digging into the genes, and they just keep digging
into
more and more of these things.
You know what you're saying? We've been treating a living organism, like me, you, anyone who's listening. We've been treating them like they're looking for a magic bullet to find a target inside, like a war on disease. And piece by piece, at the hidden molecular level, we're trying to do that. But what you're saying, what's so critical, what we're really recognizing now, is that there's never been a single absolute cause cure for any chronic disease. None. In fact, the last couple of weeks, there was because this is the 10-year anniversary of the discovery of the genome map, you know, back
right.
then with Ventnor and Collins. And so all the magazine newspapers are writing about this 10th anniversary. But what they're writing is that back then, President Clinton, with all due respect, he was thinking, this is what he was being told, that within 10 years, 5 to 10 years, now that we know the genome map, and we can map it out, we'll know the cause and cure of all those diseases. And it's turned out that they haven't been able to do it at all. And people are struggling to find out what's missing. So we can look. Just as you're saying, you're describing, we can look at disease and the chemicals as if they're building blocks. And we're going to treat them and get rid of them or attack them piece by piece and creating a war on disease. But suppose it's something else. Suppose instead of looking at the billions and trillions of different molecules in the body, there's so many different ones and of the same, there are so many of them. How can we synchronize them? How they're like an orchestra. How can we conduct the orchestra so the collective physiology, the collective chemistry and molecules are able to synchronize and work together in a pattern designed for health? That's what's so crucial. How can I write a prescription for me, for my own health? This is so different than thinking, I'm going to go just to a doctor. That's all there is. I'm going to go to a doctor. He's going to give me a chemical, a drug, and then I hope I can control my symptoms, whether it's asthma, whether it's hypertension, but I'm going to, whether it's, you know, whatever, cancer, heart disease. But what we've left out, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, from your position, when you watch the healthcare debate over the last year, year and a half, and you watch these guys fighting, and I always remind people on this show, remember, Western medicine is the third leading cause of death in this country. Just going to the doctor is the third leading cause of death. And they're fighting about it, appropriating. Yeah, and the cost of it is really what they're arguing about, because, like you say, every single stop on the train that they design an intervention for creates what they call a side effect, you know, which becomes another condition that they label. And basically, the poor client, the public, who are completely ignorant about the design of their body, as you're saying here, that they don't understand living, that this is a process, that this is something you can actually, you know, harmonize with. They only get those aesthetics when they get out of the science of medicine, the politics of medicine. They get into the art of healing, and as you call it, creating health. Give us that juxtaposition of from a medical standpoint, because, you know, you got the MD after your name. I don't. I get to talk all the weird, wacky stuff. You're in a medical community, when you're in an Ivy League setting, these guys are not dumb. These guys are smart. They know the anatomy and the physiology, but their worldview is pathophysiological. It's not about salutogenesis and the generation of health and well-being. I try to use the word coherence a lot. That seems to get their rabbit ears up because they like that. Well, how do you communicate the idea of creating health?
Okay. Right. You know, when you say creating health, that's so crucial. Causing, we've always been so concerned in the history of medicine and today about what causes disease. I'm looking for the cause of disease. And as a matter of fact, if you're going to talk about what is health, if you're going to give a definition in medicine, basically what the definition is, the absence of disease. I'm healthy if disease is absent. And therefore, what I'm going to try to do is get rid of the disease, kill it, get rid of it. And so that's the whole basis of medicine today. But suppose there's another definition. Suppose we understood, instead of what causes disease, I'd like to know what causes health. What can create health? How can my chemistry, all my physiology, all my organ systems know how to work together as a coherent, you use that word so correctly, as a coherent team, a whole working together in harmony for health? Because if the chemistry becomes out of sync, if the harmony loses its properties of coherence, then chemicals and physiology processes, molecules, are going to do their own things independently. And they begin to repeat in patterns, whether it's Parkinson's, where the nervous system is a rhythm disorder, right? You're oscillating, and those rhythms now take on a life of their own. They're not part of the whole collective. The whole collective physiology isn't working properly to resynchronize and keep the chemistry coherent. Whether it's a cancer cell, divide, 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 that's the cell cycle, it's called. Well, that cell cycle is independent, is doing its stuff, independent of the rest of the body. Just now they're beginning to find out and think that maybe the environment has an influence on what's going on in a cancer cell or the neurological system or the immune system. Maybe there's a way that I, as an individual, can conduct my own orchestra, that I can write my own prescription for health, and there is a way to do that now.
Right, and this gets into the newer sciences that have come up in the last 5 or 6 years, which are really not new, which are like epigenetics and dealing with how things get entrained into behavior, especially when you're dealing with developmental problems with children and how their brains are being rewired through technology.
Right.
And all the social stress that we're dealing with now, basically in the last 4 or 5 years, the way the social media has bombarded the nervous system and created all kinds of new addictions. Because, you know, I always try to explain this to people, that these processes, all the suggestion and training, all the things we're talking about here that are embedded in these super waves, as you say, waves, waves within waves. And if you haven't read Roger's book on Irv's thesis called Making Waves, you really pick it up. It's a very, you know, layman's terms. He explains the model. If you don't understand that these things are all basically laced into the system by design, then when they start becoming asynchronous and becoming, you know, losing their what's called tensegrity, losing their wholeness, that's when we start labeling everything as it flies off. But underneath, it still has its design, and you can get back in sync with that by understanding these principles and applying them to your behavior. And, you know, Irv's work deals a lot with heart rate variability and being able to synchronize our activity, especially our exercise activity, with the lunar cycles. Now, we're very, very, you know, aware of that on the show because, you know, we got a full moon coming up on Saturday, and we had the season change on Monday. So talk about a little bit about how our lifestyle and behavior is basically our kind of our pin code to dialing into these kind of like almost to me untapped resources that human beings can do to restore their coherence and reverse a lot of these conditions that the drugs and interventions can only make worse.
Right, and what you're saying, if you can imagine what we were like before civilization, we were actually living with and within nature, without the boundaries of the cities and the walls and whatever, without all the technology, we, like any other organism out there, any other animal, were living with the most commonality thing we were living with, the common denominator, were the rhythms of nature. The days and nights, the monthly cycles, our own cycles, birth, the delivery of a baby is cyclic in waves of contraction and relaxation, just like a heartbeat. And there are these patterns. And what we've done over these centuries and thousands of years and centuries is to get outside, work inside of closed systems. We've gotten independent of the rhythms, awake half the night, you know, and don't realize we're supposed to take these siestas and so on. So what I realized, and we're running marathons, distances, which is like having a chronic panic attack for 2.5-3 hours. and why would we want to do that? It's a chronic stressor of the nth degree. Well, what I realized is that everybody, this is so simple to realize, that if I exercise, we know, everybody knows that that's stress. It's inflammation, right? It's oxidation, the burn, if I exercise. But also, when I recover, what nobody realizes, I have to recover, but the recovery is the physiology dealing with antioxidation. I'm getting rid of the inflammation. I'm handling it. I'm getting rid of the stress. I'm relaxing, and my relaxation response is identical as meditation. Believe it or not, meditation and recovery from exercise are identical. Because when I recover, when I meditate, doesn't my heart rate slow down, my blood pressure drops, my stress hormones come down when meditating, my muscles relax, my breathing. Well, when I recover from exercise, it's identical. Heart rate slows down, blood pressure, stress hormones, breathing, muscles relax, everything relaxes from a full range. So I realized, why don't we not just train exercise? I want to train recovery. I want to make sure that the anti-inflammatory chemistry, the physiology, the antioxidant physiology is working properly to deal with stress. And then I figured out the cycles of exercise and recovery are powerful enough that if I time them properly in the day, because the day is a big cycle, the day-night is a circadian rhythm. It peaks in the afternoon, and the trough, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, is the peak of the day where my body temperature should be the highest, and it should be in health. And at nighttime, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, is the trough. It's a big wave swinging up and down. My metabolism is highest.
Where most of the heart attacks happen early in the morning?
That's right. Heart attacks are coming because you can't pull out of the dive. You're so stressed in the day that you crash at night and you can't pull out of the dive. It goes too deep. 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're still in a funk. You're still in the trough. Your physiology is spread out. It's not organized as well as it is in the peak of the afternoon when everything is working in an organized way. It's relatively spread out, dispersed, and all of a sudden you get up and trying to run when you and your physiology is out of sync. Bingo, heart attack. Stroke.
Right.
Anything with strokes.
Completely avoidable if you understand the basic principles that you're talking about here. Like we in somatics, we talk about, you know, an entraining window. So like right now we're in a 3-6 window all the way through into the full moon, and then the whole week after that is a recovery week where you don't have to do it because your body has to balance out the peak and the valley of the whole lunar cycle. And we try to get that communicated to people with lifestyles because of the travel and the vacations and the hassles. Everyone is basically now, you know, more focused on their social stress than their personal resources. And what happens, people get overextended. So to begin the process of getting applying the Superway principles, your work in cycles on lifewaves.com, You guys have a new website up there. It's I think it's $125 a month, the program. It's completely done, you know, over the phone from home. You guys coach people through. What's been the early response to this offer? Because it's something, because I think Health 2.0 is going to be an internet phenomenon. It's not going to be, this is not a providers out there, you know, in the system they have now to take care of all the disease condition-based care. This type of approach of taking charge of your health is going to become more prominent. So what is the basic package people get?
Well, the package is that there are different levels. We work with people who are healthy and people who have issues and who have problems. And depending on what needs to be done, we first do a baseline. In other words, with them, they put a heart rate monitor on, in which they can see their heart rate speeding up and slowing down with guided exercise recovery cycles. And they upload the data to us. We get the data, and we analyze it, and we can individually, on an individual basis, know what your wave patterns are like that is different than somebody's. As a generic pattern, we have a pattern for all humans, have an optimal pattern, but each individual has their unique characteristics. And so we analyze that and can tell actually when somebody's wave patterns are out of sync or they're going in the wrong direction. Even if they don't have a disease, you can see it in process. Or if they have it, you can certainly see it in the wave patterns, flattening out, the heart rate comes down too quickly and can crash. They have too low a heart rate, or they're hyperactive and the heart rate jumps all over the place. And so what we do, and we call them heart waves, as time goes on, by you, the individual, doing this, the cycles, begins to reprogram the heart wave into a new wave pattern, which is a new memory that synchronizes the chemistry that's climbing up and down in little waves inside of these larger waves, and we recreate the health of the individual. So that I like to call it not just curing disease, because that sounds like a magic bullet. What I'm talking about is renormalizing the physiology. This is the way we were designed to work in the first place. This is the reason why they haven't found any causes or cures, because we need to think a whole new way of thinking. It's like a whole new health industry. But how can I do this? I'm the one in charge of my health now. It's not just me going to a doctor, which is fine. You can do all the drugs, et cetera. But now I have some powerful things that I can do, not just a simple little thing. It is simple, by the way. The beauty of it is, in a single session, the total amount of physical activity totals maybe 5 minutes. That's it. Because if you did five cycles, you spend 30, 40, 50 seconds exercising and a couple of minutes, few minutes recovery, you're done. But it's designed for you, patterned for you. We will follow you, send you, upload the data, talk to us on a periodic basis, and then your program is delivered in time. Like just now, a young man just left, 11 years old, with Lyme's disease, okay? A young boy who has now been on the program 2 or 3 months, and it's amazing. His parents are so excited because he really now, this young kid, is now beginning to function. And before, he couldn't finish school. He was so sick, and everybody looked at him and didn't know what to do. They shrugged their shoulders. They gave him the antibiotics, and nothing worked, which is no different than me having worked this morning with a woman who's in her 60s who had a stroke, and she's paralyzed. In the last month, I've been working with her, her right foot was paralyzed, couldn't talk. She's now beginning to walk unbelievably and fast, and they said this would take months, no, and years if it comes back. And it's coming back because she is reawakening her nervous system back to where it should be in a healthy pattern, creating health. And so this is something that is as new, but it goes back to our history of how we really are designed to behave.
Yeah, and then we're talking with Irving Dardick, MD, for Superwave Theory, and all the things that come off of this. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, watching something like the campaign for H1N1 last year when the vaccine came out. I called it the swine fear. and all of these big global interventions and the things that came out with ClimateGate right after that, on the heels of that, and all the things that were happening under the radar, like the flu in Kiev last year in the Ukraine, when there were different strains of the vaccine that caused all kinds of mass.
Right. Oh God.
I mean, all
over
here.
Remember stem cells?
What happened
with people? The guy kid in Philadelphia. I mean, it's like, and we're blind to understand. Now, I'm not saying one shouldn't use a drug or medication or whatever. But if we understood that one, we use them more appropriately if we knew how to cycle them properly, and that we'd need a lot less, because if you can get your own body functioning, you know what? I'll tell you. I ask somebody, what is the biggest drugstore in the world? And start saying, oh, CVS, Rite Aid, whatever. And I said, no, you're the biggest drugstore in the world.
Yes.
You have more drugs in your body than anybody could ever imagine. And they know how to talk to each other. If you want them to talk to each other so that they're healthy, then you do it in a way that will resynchronize and create coherence. Now you write the prescription for your drugstore.
It's much more affordable, too, because it's your own body.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's more affordable. It's your own body, and you're in charge.
It's portable and all that. So how do you get the politics, you know, because the politics drive this, big pharma, you know, the politics drive this discussion a lot. And when I see parents, you know, coming to me with questions about, you know, how do we handle, you know, in New Jersey, they're doing the vaccine for the girls now, you know, with the HPV. Issues that always come up, and I try to talk to them in terms of you know, the way that the legal system works, informed consent. You are he's a self-described medical maverick, which is French for outlaw. We'll get to your work in Europe in a minute here. Is that when I see the public becoming conscious of this outside-in, third-party way of basically, and David Goodman describes it, giving a group lobotomy to a whole generation. Between the food, the drugs, the behavior, and the way that the society is governed by exertion and no recovery, burning everybody out, causing the parents to go on Prozac and the kids to go on Ritalin, and everybody in between on some type of mood altering drug all the time.
You got it.
When you look around at the menage of all this stuff, and then the BP happens, the BP spill happens, and now the bigger waves are starting to come in that we can't influence ourselves. We could just look around and go, wow, look at this. How do we get on top of all this again? Because I just see not so much a lack of receptivity. You'll get a lot of scientists, and I've, you know, the last 4 years, I've probably presented, you know, my argument to, I don't even know, maybe 100, maybe 200 different scientists, and they all nod their head. It makes sense. But delivering it and executing and implementing it and actually having it have an impact, it might take another generation of failure before they go, hey, what's this super wave thing? How do you, they just find it under a rock somewhere. How do you resign yourself to the slow grind of normal science when we're in this almost, at this point, 360-degree eco-biological and cultural crisis where you have so much overcompensation, you know, of the resources that the system, wildfires, all the things that are going on. And then you have ClimateGate come out and the politics come up again when you know what the truth is, but people have a hard time not only listening and accepting it, but actually then acting on it. So I'm frustrated because, you know, I carry your flag a lot, Irv. I want to know how you get, like, you see the BP thing. Why aren't they calling you for this BP thing? the hurricane season's going to start, and there's 173 miles of coastline that have oil on it now. Are they going to wait till it makes a left turn and comes up the East Coast and it's here for Halloween? How do you tolerate the...
You know, it's very interesting. You made that point about a whole new generation. If you go back to biblical times with Moses, he wandered around the desert, left Egypt, and wandered around for 40 years when he created a beeline right to Egypt. One of the comments that people make, and they say, well, the reason was, is that he needed to get rid of the old generation because they were locked into their old stuff. He needed to get a young generation to start again, a new country, and got into Israel and did that. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, this is very similar. This is something very dramatic, very powerful. And that but the people that are getting it the most, interestingly enough, when I talk to groups, are the younger people who are so intrigued with thinking in these terms without having been indoctrinated in a whole new way of looking at things. There's a guy named F. David Peet, who wrote, as a physicist I've worked with, who wrote a book and on physics. And one of the things he mentioned was that scientists are very comfortable with experiments being failed. You know, most experiments don't work. I mean, when you do have something that seems to work, it's great. But by and large, they fail. But they're accustomed to that. However, if somebody has a new reality that changes the way they're thinking, that is something that they can't deal with. When you have a reality that is different than my reality, I have to start thinking a new understanding of how to go about doing things. Oh, my God. So yes. I'm working with people who are the older people, older generations. I'm saying older than kids, you know, 40, 50, 60. When they have a medical issue, many of them are, they're struggling. They suddenly find, uh-oh, this isn't working. And they come call me. On the other hand, young people do grasp something new. But I'm writing a couple of books now. We have several books, and I'm working with Dale Press to write a book on theory itself called The Nature of Nature. And I'm working on another dealing with the whole health issue, causing health. And so this has to get out there. Roger Lewin's book, Making Waves, gives a general background, which is very good, which gives, you know, introduces the whole idea of making waves. But we need to get this out there. Getting on your program on this radio show, this is important to be able to get people to listen and to hear and to think about this. And you, what's needed is like one of these tipping points, the groundswell that suddenly hits and people realize this. And so we're in the midst of doing this from the health arena, and as you know, I'm also working in energy physics. Working with the same process, explaining how nature actually works. Historically, medicine has been coming from a direction that's based on a concept, an hypothesis, that isn't the fundamental way the body is actually working. And they know that. They know something. They always are saying there's something missing, something's wrong. We don't understand it because we've relegated the body's rhythms to a secondary status. They are actually, without our rhythms, we're done. It's the rhythms that we can regulate and control, the rhythms at the micro level that is going to cause health. That's what we need to do, but we have to get to people, like you're saying.
Right.
And this is
I hope our friends at the Center for Disease Cheerleading down there in Atlanta, the CDC and the World Health Organization, WHO,
listen to my
program and comment to me. You know, because I say a lot of things that are, you know, in their minds talking out of church, but, you know, bring it on. I'll just direct you over to New Jersey, and Irv will show you all his magic. Because the cold fusion stuff, that there's a couple of clips up on YouTube of you discussing it. And of course, everybody wants to jump in, because the cold fusion has as a mimetic device, that's one of those failed hooey things from the 80s. And you explain in about 30 seconds. Listen, guys, it's not really cold fusion. It's just called that because it is the sun, you know, and it's all this, you know, wordy-gurdy. Give us, because this is another thing. How do you get from, okay, I get my heartbeat, I get the interval training, I get the fact that I should rest. How does that, in a parallel way, relate to, you know, this renewable energy thing that you're creating that, to me, would demonstrate to people in a very powerful, very direct and timely way, because of what we're dealing with here, a way to basically reverse the curse here and get us completely out of the oil world almost overnight if they would just pay attention. So give us, you know, a minute or two about those experiments and where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a laboratory in Israel with around 20 scientists. Most of them came from Russia, from engineers, physicists, mathematicians. And now we're setting up the lab at the University of Missouri, Rob Duncan and his laboratory there. We're setting up a whole lab on this fusion process, which we have had fantastic replication, reproducibility, and it actually works with nobody believed was possible. And what I did was to realize, just like I exercise and recover in a wave, and that my heartbeat is a cycle that climbs up and down that wave, and chemistry, as I'm exercising and recovering, the chemistry is also climbing up and down the heartbeat, the whole body's waves, and the cycles that I'm making, that I am, and you are, anybody who's listening, is not only molecules, we're made of the very atoms and particles that are in the universe. And that I am regulating my metabolism to get hot, warm up, heating, and cool down. This is a cyclic process. And I realize that the sun itself is a cyclic process. The circadian rhythm, the day-night cycle that we experience, is the day-night cycle of the sun and the earth spinning around the sun. These are waves. So I figured out how these waves are nested inside one another in a highly ordered way, so I can, from the top down, from the big waves down to the microscopic waves, I can regulate their motion. And motion, if you create rapid motion, you have heat. And sure enough, when we applied electromagnetic waves on a technology, tabletop technology, down to the microscopic terium, the heavy, the hydrogen waves, lo and behold, we got tremendous amount of heat, as much as 2,500%, 25 times the amount of heat that we put in. Can you imagine that? We get 20 more heat than we put in. In other words, there's virtually no waste. And we're able to maintain heat like that for extended weeks and months. And so we're engineering it now. We're now at a point where we have this now in the U.S. We're working with Mike McCooper from SRI. We're working with the Italian Atomic Energy Commission. We're working with the NRL in the United States. And we're going to pull this together in such a way that we will be able to have energy, heat, as waves, as super waves, that mimics the body, but that we will now not have to just burn fuel and create waste. You know, when Gary, that's a big wave. You burn it and waste the other side. Now we'll be able to have it in a positive way. We have scientists around the world who are seeing this now and are very excited. And so
now,
we're moving.
I was going to ask you, all the people now in this green, you know, all this other green economy, you know, that are building windmills and everything else, and the, you know, the solar stuff, this sounds, A, more efficient, B, more less expensive, and C, it doesn't have a political, proprietary
agenda,
kind of
agenda.
Yeah, right, that there's not going to be this piracy. And it just sounds like something that would solve a lot of problems and not get
right.
All these artificial barriers. So, the green community, if you put out feelers in it to say, hey guys, you know, I know you want to build some more windmills and you want, you know, that's nice, but this will actually, you know, unplug literally us from this ridiculously dependent and highly leveraged and lucrative system for some, as we've seen with the BP guy on the boat there. I just feel like, you know, you got to imagine this guy. Earth's a nice guy.
We're on a threshold.
If you met him on the street, you know, getting your paper in the morning, he'd be like any other guy in the neighborhood. Then he goes back to his house, and he's solving the problems of the universe, you know, looking out his back window. So I just want to, you know, I want this to get the attention it deserves from the people that can make the chess pieces move, because I feel like we're sitting here like in quicksand intellectually, trying old methods that fail, take too much time, have too much political, you know, stuff laced in them, when this doesn't. This just says, bing, and all of a sudden we're in a different way of living globally. And I just, you know, I want to do my best to get that word out, because I know people listen to the show that will react and email and continue the discussion. So I wanted to make sure we got to that today. All right, Earl,
I would be happy to talk to you again. This is great.
We will believe me. The once people hear this, I will wake up Thursday morning and I will be triple figures in the comment section.
Great.
People that listen have funny letters after their name and they tend to comment. So anytime you want to come back on it and expound on it, especially as the BP crisis evolves over the summer, we'll see. Because
okay.
It is the summer of recovery, of your word. So maybe we'll actually get a couple of these dots connected. So. All right, everybody,
right.
If you want to go visit Irv's site, it's lifewaves.com. There's an article section there of a lot of the applications of superwaves. Pick up the book, you know, take it to the beach with you this summer while there's no oil on it up here in the East Coast, and really learn about something that you're going to thank yourself, because this is a living Einstein we're talking to right here. You guys don't know that right now, but hopefully, you know, we'll keep Herb around long enough that he can take a bow for all the work he's done, because I'm shocked and amazed. I am shocked and amazed that this guy, who's pissed off probably everybody he's ever met in his own community, you know, what's that, you're not a prophet in your own land or something like that, but us woos out here in the bushes, we admire and respect you, and thank you for joining us. So hang on.
Thank you.
Everybody else, just stay tuned. Hang on 1 second, Herb, and we'll be right back with more Somatize.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, Irving Dorick talking. How many words did we get in? The two of us talking like magpies there for about 45 minutes. Great, great time with him. Like I said, it was very special to have him on the air. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And just break down those ideas a little bit, you know, from what he was saying. If you start perceiving, you know, things the way he's talking about it, all of a sudden there's not a lot of separation between you and your surroundings. There's much more of a rhythm there. And that's really what he's trying to communicate. There's a very basic somatic message. And getting past the illusion of being separate. And also the illusion that, as human beings, that our self-regulation is completely internal. Like he was talking about there, you know, the moon influences our energy levels and all the things he talks about. It's such a... to me, a basic understanding. And if you have it, then you never panic about all these things that come up, swine flu, this and that, you know, all the vaccines, all the things that mainstream medicine are doing to reinforce their worldview that deals basically with trying to control and influence nature and somewhat be the stewards of the material universe, you know, the stuff that's here. And like he was saying, a lot of things they do produces a lot of waste, costs a lot of money, takes up a lot of time. That's not a very efficient model. And so, you know, of course, the new stuff's going to get attacked, and it does pretty often. But anyway, I just thought it was a brilliant opportunity for me talking about this summer of recovery. That, you know, Biden and Obama, everyone else is promising us. With 173 miles of coastline full of oil, I don't know how much recovery we're getting, but, you know, neither here nor there. Let's see if I can, my computer's doing its usual little dance. Let's see if I can find the Bill Clinton one here. Boy. It's great. He's about as hoarse as I am in this thing. And you could tell he's emotionally very involved. The Yankees let up some runs here. This is beautiful. Look at this throw. Oh. Hey, Rob, with a tag. I wonder if they get the second run in. Yep, they did. 2-1. Okay. Here we go. A little post-match. Here's Clinton. This is perfect.
All great contests at some point become head games. Athletic contests, elections, wars, everything, you know. And they have a good head and a good heart. Collectively, they played and they just kept playing.
Like I said last week, me and Bonnie, what America.
I don't know if you're going to hear that.
We can moan about it.
All great contests. At some point become head games. Athletic contests, elections, wars, everything, you know. And they have a good head and a good heart. Collectively, they played and they just kept playing.
I got some money. What Americans are about.
This Donovan guy's a grace. Another on top, by the way. Add to the collection.
You're live. We're live, baby.
Go! Yep. I'm loving it. I'm into it. I can't help it. I'm beyond the point of being objective here with this thing. All right, anything left you guys want to talk about? We've got a couple minutes here at 646-478-4847. 646-478-4847. A lot of things to react to, obviously, coming off of a really, really wild week of events and just things swinging all over the place here. So wanted to make sure that, I kind of buttoned up that idea a little bit about what I was talking about there with his work, because it's probably lost in the shuffle, you know, because every time something innovative comes out, they want to test it and test it and test it. And this is so basic, it should be shared at kitchen tables. It doesn't need a lot of laboratory time. Like I said, if you go over to my site and you click on the summer coherence calendar, you'll see your simples up there. You'll see the seasonals up there. Doing these behaviors in a rhythmic and dynamic way throughout the lunar cycle, throughout the solar cycles of the seasons, creates good memory. Once you have that, no matter how far, of course, you get, your body knows how to dial back into those basic biological rhythms that we're supposed to be embedded in. And, you know, that's where he talks about disease as the unraveling of that and the imbalance of that. And when things start to become much more kind of, you know, open like that, you end up with things physiologically not being able to recenter and balance themselves. And then, you know, Mr. Allopath comes along and labels it and tries to, you know, treat the condition rather than restore the integrity to the waves. And, the, you know, it's that wacky waving thing I was talking about before. That's a basic principle in superwave theory, and it's also pretty fundamental to somatics, is that we live within rhythms. The organism has multiple environments and it's to govern. He went through a couple of them there, you know, dealing with all the way down to the quantum, all the way up to the cosmic waves. But we tend to go from microscopic to macroscopic, and we miss the middle layer, the mesoscopic layer, where things are basically life size. And that's really what life waves is about, being able to look at body waves, heart waves, and biochemical waves as they all interact together, not separate the way that we do it in Western medicine, especially when it comes to education. And how we look at learning disorders. I mean, I could do 6 months of shows about how this basic worldview needs to get across to people so they stop chasing their tail, curing this disease, having a telethon for that disease. It never, ever, ever worked. And yet we continue to do it because, you know, we have to sell them drugs. Yeah. So let me give a little woo-woo shout-out to the Americans there, and so when you're watching on Saturday, you know, watching them play Ghana, we scored. This is what I want you to think of.
Whoop whoop, you know what I'm saying? Then you got the flows. They didn't trip off the flow masters.
That decoration, man. Yeah. Just the decoration.
That's the decoration, man. So anyway, I'm kind of tired, and I'm sure you're tired too. So I think I'm gonna wrap it up here. I just want to see if I could get. By the way, the Mets won 5-0. A sterling effort by R.A. Dickey again. Checking the scores. Cleveland, middle of the ninth, 6-5 over Philadelphia. And where's my man? Let's see. Atlanta, middle of the second. There's been a rain delay in Chicago. Let's see if that game's on MLB. Take a quick peek at that. Tomorrow, you got the NBA draft. All the intrigue with that. Lawrence Taylor trial. Still limping along. No pun intended. Went through indictment today. Johan Santana, accused of some sexual malfeasance, and looks like that was snuffed out in the early stages, but some funky thing happened on a golf course. I have no idea. Any other scores of significance here? Let's see. Florida won. Big deal. Fired their coach, fired their manager today. That owner's loopy. Loopy. Strasburg finally lost his first game. The Nats continue to fade pretty fast there in the NL East. They had a really rough interleague record. 1-0 to Kansas City tonight. I think I saw he had 7 or 8 or 9 strikeouts in a loss. You know, 1-0. My God. So, who knows? Hey, this is 1-0, 9 strikeouts. Wow. Yeah. And Ubaldo Jimenez is on the mound again. Taking his 13-1 record out
against the Red Sox, up 5-2, bottom of the fifth. So I'm out of a first 14-game winner. I feel like I'm doing, you know, a little FAN here. So I think I'm going to wrap it up for this week. There's so much to think about. Like I said, if you look at what he's saying with Superwaves as it relates to the cold fusion, the energy stuff he's talking about, and then you look at the BP cleanup, and you look at all the politics around it, and all the economic leverage that's there, here's something he's creating that won't have any of that. So that's how he solves that problem. Education, like he says, you get them young and you teach them the basic principles of how their body's designed. They understand rest and recovery. They understand how exertion has a rhythm. And all these things become lifestyle-based. You don't have to go to the doctor for that. Just know it. Make it public knowledge that people should know how to govern their bodies and how to recover when they're ill and how to basically build on their health, not just try to maintain it. Health maintenance organization. Three words that never should be put together. That's why you have a Center for Disease Control. I mean, what is that about? Again, Herb's point of intervention, fighting the body, fighting disease, fighting cancer. It's all fool's errands, guys. You know, I never get an error. Oh, I have this exotic disease. You know, you have weird waves. That's all you got. I'm going to play that one more time. It's just too funny. Let's see if I got it here. All right. Right? A little tribute to Irv as we go out before we sign off for the night. Let's see. Play again, please. Got no voice this week. That's why I'm signing off early. Let's see if we can get Irv's signature call here.
Arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Hi, I'm Al Harrington, president and CEO of Al Harrington's Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Man Emporium and Warehouse. Thanks to a shipping error, I am now currently overstocked on Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Men, and I am passing the savings on to you! Attract customers to your business. Make a splash at your next presentation. Keep grandma company. Protect your crops. Confuse your neighbors. African American, hail a cab. Testify in church or just raise the roof. Whatever your wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man needs are. So come on down to Al Harrington's Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Man Emporium and Warehouse. Route 2 in Wekapog.
I probably just blew some people out of the water, but I don't care. That clip is just, it's just, maybe it's just funny to me, but it's damn funny. Damn funny. So I think I'll play us out with a little Traveling Wilburys here that would fit anyone that's read Making Waves, which is what Irv does in a lot of different directions, a lot of different dimensions in his life. And like I said, it has not been a straight line for Irv in any way, shape, or form getting these ideas across. I know I got some difficult challenges getting my ideas across, but nothing compared to what this guy's been through. I mean, really nothing. So let's see if I can find it here. It's Traveling Wilburys. I want the Monkey Song. Monkey Man. In honor of the World Cup, maybe the Lions, but, Africa action. Oh boy. So next week I think I'm going to take a little look at what it is to be an American on the last day of June as we get ready for the 4th of July weekend and the endless summer. And maybe see what my old friend NSM Doc Sacromaniac's up to. See if he's got anything to say with the way the election's gone the last couple weeks. So we'll get that done for you, and we'll get him on or somebody to talk about it, because I'm completely confused how we're supposed to deal with all this crap. So Petraeus is back in command. Follow me to freedom, and there's gold in them there hills. Yeah, so I want to thank my guest, Irving Dardick, LifeWaves.com. This isn't them. Oh, hell with this. Are you kidding me? Ripping off the Wilburys? What is this? The Fruity Buckfoot Band. Are you kidding me? Let's get the real song up here. Anyway. Here we go. This isn't good.
why is it so hard to get, like, YouTube has gotten so congested with crap. You get the real song, it takes, like, you know, a miracle. So who is this guy? It's the Fruity Buckfoot guy again. Not bad. All right, one more time here, see if I get the real song. Of course, it's not a Napster, it's nothing. Who's this guy?
Peter and the Monkey Man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't want to hear you. I want to hear the real song. Damn you. Damn you. What's this? Tom's saying something here. Let's see. I'll take a little Tom. I can't get the song I want. Now I'm in a weird time warp. I got like a for some reason I have a Tom Petty. What is this? No idea what I'm looking at. Oh boy. Where is it? There we go. Okay, let's see. Counting it down here on Summertime, Dr. Mark here. I have no clue. Just trying to play the song to leave and get out and can't do that. Please stop.
Bradley, as backup catcher for the Seattle.
Let's see.
Entitled Full Moon Fever has received two Grammy nominations, including Best Album. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our special musical guest, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I think I remember this. 8th anniversary special. He's doing Face in the Crowd, I think. It's kind of cool. Tom's got a new album out called Mojo, by the way. I recommend it. Yeah, I can't handle this. Too mellow. Too mellow! I want to hear my song! Boy, I'm getting depressed. Trying to just play a song to end the show. Can't get the Tweeter song. No.
Tweeter.
All right, let's see if I can find anything to do with this. It used to be so easy. You go on there and we just play. Oh, okay. Is this it? No. Tweeter the Monkey Man. I have like a half an hour to look for this. Let's see what this is. It's heading for the light. God, tell you what, I'm going to take that banana version of it in a second. Who's this guy? Cover band. Anyway, see if I can get something decent here. I want a little Dylan in there. You know, it's a real song. I go that way. I won't even look for the song. I'm just going to look for the damn Wilburys on here. See if I can find it that way. Because I'm determined now. There was a video for this stupid song. Heading for the light. End of the line. Tweet on the Monkey Man. That's cover. Cover. Freaking Fruities. Look at this. Look at this. Is that them? Let's see. I mean, you really got to dig. The song's about 20 years old. Hey, I got it. TTC. All right, guys. Travel light through the darkness. Be yourselves and be well. Thank you for this time and your space. A tinny, isn't it? Bam, bam. Still love the song. Enjoy your Onto Moon, my friends. It's coming hard on Sunday night. Saturday night. Well, it'll be Sunday morning. There you go, Irv.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold the phone. Stop. God, you're annoying. YouTube. I got to get someone on from YouTube at some point to explain me why this thing is so annoying. Please click the link to see my other upload with better sound. I just did. Now I'm lost in church here. I have no idea what this guy sent me. Click the link, he said. Oh, it was blocked. Blocked. All right. We're switching songs here. Sorry, Irv. I wanted to play you out, but it just, you know, they won't let me do it. Let's see if there's anything. Oh. It's the rhubarb. Crowd's going wild. Pandemonium here. This is wild. Oh. I have no idea what that was about. But somebody was happy. El Salvador. That's tremendous. Okay. Boy, what was an easy thing has now become impossible. All right. I should just say goodbye. 10:30, goodbye already. I can't say goodbye. Not like this. Look at this thing. Nightmare. You know, I recommend anyone that does a Blog Talk Radio show to actually pay somebody to do this part because it is brutal. It's brutal being me, but it's really brutal doing this kind of stuff. Let's see if we got the Monkey Man even on here. What a pain in the butt. Look at that. Tweet of the Monkey Man. That's probably the way I should have looked it up. But here's a little clip of it anyway. See if we can get it out there. 30 seconds of it's all we need. Go ahead. I don't know what random part of the song they give me here, but let's see. Once again, thanks, Irv. If you hung in this late, you're really desperate for entertainment, my friend. There we go. A little volume this time, at least. All right, everybody. See you next week. Enjoy the full moon. Stick to the road. Away the moors. And fear the onto. Spiral on, sapiens.